Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is Wednesday, April 17th, and we are waiting for Mark Cox to get in here. I'll tell you what, when I walk in, I see him in his office, and he has all his notes out there, and he's making sure he gets all the most up-to-date sound for you. He's always doing show prep whenever I walk in. So to his credit, that's what he's doing. Even during the commercial breaks, Mark, I need to get him a pair of roller skates. Mark, if you'd be a fan of, he just walked in.
Usually Ethan yells at me. He goes, Mark, you're up. And I walk in here and I get here just in the nick of time. And for some reason, I don't know if he's got laryngitis or what. He claims he yelled at me and I didn't hear him. So then he says, you got 3 seconds, which is not enough time to get from my office, from my lavish wood-paneled office to the studio.
The mahogany that you have
the
in there.
The rich mahogany.
Yeah. Were you smoking your cigar in there? You had your nice glass of bourbon. Mark, I think Mark was getting his shoes shined when he was in a massage, I think, before he came to the studio. And I think the shoe shining just ran a little bit long.
Can you imagine, like, in today's, like, when I got to Channel 4 in 1993, they had just stopped allowing smoking in the newsroom, like in 1993.
Really?
Yeah. It was shortly before that. All of the ceiling tiles are stained yellow from people sitting there with cigarettes hanging out of their mouth, typing their scripts. Fast forward to today, 30 years later. If I lit up a cigar in that office and smoked it, can you imagine the outcry? This building smelled like pot for 2 years, and they couldn't seem to figure out how to stop it. And they just kind of lived with it. But if I had lit up a cigar in there, they'd probably have arrested me. Think
yeah.
about that.
I mean,
that's where we've gone in the world.
I think
days.
About going to restaurants as a kid, and you'd say, do you want to sit in the smoking or the non-smoking section? And it's so wild. Like, I think about telling my kids that, Sonny's did that when he's older, you know, thinking, yeah, you could go. In fact, if you wanted a table quicker, often you would just sometimes be like, okay, fine.
I'll sit in the smoking section.
And then you'd sit there for 5 minutes and be like, this was a terrible decision. I'm out.
We remember smoking on planes.
Oh, I know.
I can't
the
even
worst.
Imagine.
Can you imagine having to sit next to someone who was lighting up while you were flying?
Well, it was the back of the plane is, you know,
usually
where the engines were.
Yeah.
So you mean so that all the air would push it to the front of the plane?
Yeah,
so no matter where you sat, you smelled like a cig walking off the plane?
Back then, the air didn't circulate like it does now. I'm kidding. Of course it did. It was all the same air.
Well, did the doors stay on the airplanes? Or
usually.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the difference.
So I apologize for being late this morning. I was actually back there working on a very important story. Which is Caitlin Clark's salary in the WNBA, which is causing alarm across America this morning. And I promise you we'll get to more on that in a minute. Carl, let's get to the short list before I get in more trouble.
The Mark Cox short list.
My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton.
He's old Joe from Scranton. That's him.
Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
Wow. Neil Gorsuch just slicing and dicing. Remember the old commercial, the slice and dice commercial? He sliced and diced the DOJ lawyer trying to argue that all these J6 defendants should be charged with a crime they only created to stop people from shredding documents at Enron.
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs.
Yeah, Speaker Mike Johnson is not backing down. Unfortunately for him, he doesn't have very much of a margin. Are the Democrats going to come in and save him? Will they, or will it be Speaker Hakeem Jeffries shortly?
You start thinking about all the people, good people you work with, all the good people you work for, all the good coaches that work for you. And I'm not here because I'm a player. I'm here because of managing. And I had a lot of good players play for me.
Yep, Whitey Herzog lost a St. Louis Cardinals legend yesterday. I know it's been well covered at this point, but I did want to include that this morning. And I'm sure we'll talk more to our friend down the hall, Tom Ackerman, tomorrow regarding Herzog and his legend and the impact he had on the Cardinals back in the 80s. And Whitey Ball, everybody knows that term, whether you're even a big Cardinal fan or not. You probably heard that term growing up over the years. I think I only had an opportunity to meet him once. I was in the I got invited to sit in the green seats behind home plate one time by a friend. And all of the Cardinals greats hung out in there before the games, the ones that were attending. And I got to meet Whitey in there one time several years back. Great, great guy. Always gracious. That was the thing I'll say about all of these Cardinal greats. Stan Musial specifically. Ozzie Smith fits in this category as well as Whitey Herzog. These people are bigger than life to Cardinal fans. As somebody who didn't grow up here, they're still bigger than life to me because I'm an adopted Cardinals fan for 30 years now. And you could walk up and have a conversation with any of these people just like they approached life as if they pulled their pants on the same way you did that morning. That is not the case with a lot of athletes these days, a lot of superstar athletes. Mm-hmm. They keep a barrier between themselves and the public. They arrive in limos. They have security keeping you away from them. That's not how Whitey Herzog grew up. It's not how Stan Musial grew up, really. Even Ozzie Smith, even though he's a more current player than either of them or manager, they were just humble. I used to go to Stan Musial's charity golf tournament every year. I had the opportunity to golf with some guys that went to that every year for probably 4 or 5 years. And here's a man in the Hall of Fame. He retired a year before I was born, Kim. You think I'm old. Stan Musial retired. I remember looking at his baseball card one time that he signed for me in 1963. He retired in 1963. And he would come to this in his golf cart. He had a special golf cart that looked like a Cadillac or something. And he'd ride it up to the little stand there where the tournament kicked off. And he'd get out, and anything you handed him, he'd sign. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to sit down at the picnic table with him and just chat, he'd sit there and talk to you for 10 or 15 minutes. We've just lost something special with the game because today's athletes largely don't do those things.
Yeah, I really do respect when people reach that level of fame and they can still be humble.
Yeah.
It is hard to come by more and more.
You just don't see it. Really anymore. And Whitey Herzog might have been even greater at that than Stan Musial, if that's possible. I wasn't around Herzog as much. He was at that tournament a few times, I remember, over the years, seeing him there. I just never really got to know him.
It sounds like he lived a good life. Lived mm-hmm. until 92. His family says he spent his last days surrounded by family.
Yeah. And pretty active right up until the end here. So sorry to lose him for sure. Another great one gone from the Cardinals history there. All right. Coming up, we got a lot of good stuff for you today. A little bit later, we're going to talk to a Middle East expert who used to work with the Israeli consulate in New York. And Jake Novak's got some theories here on what's going to happen next in this situation with Iran and how the Biden administration has been mishandling not only Iran, but its relationship with Israel. I've got Jake coming on here about 7:35. this morning. We're going to get to him. I promise you that. And David Gregory's going to join us because he's running for state rep. He's running for state senate, I should say. But he is suing Sam Page over that senior tax break. We asked Dennis Hancock about that the other day. Page is the one holding this up right now. If you're a senior citizen, I think they should just eliminate your property taxes at some point. And everybody in the municipality just had a heart attack when I said that. But it's true. You shouldn't be forced out of your home because the taxes keep going up every year and you're suddenly on a fixed income. It just shouldn't happen. We shouldn't allow those things to happen. So we'll get to all that and more for you just a little bit later. I promise you that. But first, let's get to our national anthem.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Yay, yay. And you know Caitlin Clark didn't buy that Prada outfit she was wearing, Kim, on her WNBA salary.
I don't think she could afford it.
She's going to make $76,000 a year her first year in the league. And I heard them on the Gordon Deal Morning this morning say that there are NBA players making, like, I don't know, $400 million their rookie year,
so
something like that.
The one I saw was, so her Caitlin's contract is a four-year contract, $338,000, and they're comparing it to last year's number one pick for the NBA draft, and that was $55 million.
It's not fair. And yesterday, the president of the United States had to get involved in it because he is this is who he is. This is who Joe Biden is. He's got to be the populist. He's got to come out and say, this is not fair. NBA women ought to be making, WNBA women ought to be making their fair share. The WNBA, listen to me clearly here. The WNBA has never turned a profit in its 30-year history. It exists because the NBA subsidizes it. Because they don't make any money. Nobody, generally speaking, is watching. Now, that might change. I pray that it does change. I pray that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese or whatever her name is, these people being added to WNBA, all this attention causes more people to watch and their revenues go up. But mm-hmm. right now, that's not the case.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, I understand why they're not making the same or even close to it, because the viewership just simply isn't there. That's ad revenue. They have to sell that time. So I completely understand why. Now, from a female's perspective, I also can empathize saying, yeah, I get why that's frustrating. I get why, as a woman, you wish that more people watched your sport and therefore you could make the same salary.
Right.
I empathize with that. That is frustrating. However, It just is what it is. I mean, you can't change. I hope, like you said, that Caitlin Clark can change things. Here. But it's just not the case right now.
Here it is. Bill Burr said it. The comedian said it best.
None of you went to the f-ing games. None of you. You all failed them. Not me. Not men. Women failed the WNBA. Ladies, name your top five all-time WNBA players of all time. Come on. That's it. Name five WNBA teams. Name the WNBA team in your f-ing city. You can't do it. You don't give a f- about them. They play night in and night out in front of nobody. It's a f- tragedy, right?
Wait.
And then meanwhile, you look at the Kardashians.
They're making billions.
You know those Real Housewife shows? They're making money hand over fist because that's what women are watching.
True. He's not wrong.
It's true. Thank you, Bill Barr. Kim on a whim, coming up in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
I have a really important question for you, Mark, and that is, Do you have plans this upcoming Monday?
Do I have plans this Monday? Well, you know, I mean, the thing about it is Mother Earth is important to me, generally speaking. I mean, I appreciate that she's there for me. She supports the tires on my big SUV and truck when I'm rolling down the highway. I mean, I like to give back to Mother Earth, if that's what you're getting at.
I'm actually not, but I'm really, really glad that you're going to put a heavy emphasis on Earth Day on Monday.
I have signed up under threat of getting in trouble if I don't, to go participate in our Earth Day activities on Monday.
Well, here's the thing. That's during the afternoon. And if you don't have plans Monday evening, Mark, I have a really great suggestion for you.
Oh, cool. What is that exactly?
Dylan Mulvaney is coming to St. Louis.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought we were going to get, like, scream effects for that or something.
Oh, my gosh.
At SLU. You sound kind of like Dylan.
I want a Bud Light.
Dylan, mark your calendars, friends. Dylan Mulvaney is coming to SLU, and you can hear him speak, okay?
And can I just point something out? When I read that story yesterday, I think I might have emailed it to you.
No, I actually texted it to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw it and tried to email it to you. I know that. And I'm thinking to myself, just do the flip test here for just a minute, because there's a group of people in this country who judge you constantly if you're a conservative, claiming you're not tolerant. Okay, if at St. Louis University on Monday night, let's just pick Matt Walsh or Donald Trump was going to be at St. Louis University on Monday night. There would be protests. The roads would be blocked. There'd be people, you know, gluing themselves to the pavement to keep you from getting in there. I will bet you money right now there's not a single conservative who's planning to go to St. Louis University on Monday night and protest the fact that they're choosing to amplify this mental health situation that is Dylan Mulvaney.
Funny that you say that, Mark, because the president of SLU's College Republicans, that group on campus, said Mulvaney's message contradicts SLU's Catholic teachings, is obviously against Mulvaney coming.
Yeah.
She's absolutely right. However, she said her student organization does not have plans to protest the event.
No.
Now, what's interesting about this is that she said the College Republicans had tried to get some women's sports activists to come and speak the day after Mulvaney's visit. So that would be Tuesday. To essentially balance the viewpoints, but was told by the school that security could not accommodate her request.
If they tried to bring Riley Gaines to speak at that school, the lefties would melt down because they hate free speech.
No, I know. And
conservatives are not going to do that.
You brought up Matt Walsh, and I'm glad that you did, because Matt Walsh has been blocked not once, but twice from coming to speak at SLU's campus. And this is what happened when Matt Walsh was trying to show up to speak back in 2021.
My choice! My choice! My choice! My choice!
I'm really
Dylan
sorry.
In the background?
I'm sorry I subjected you to that because that makes my ears want to bleed. Not only because it's just the hypocrisy, what they're doing, where they're going to go out and scream and shout and kick and throw a complete tantrum when Matt Walsh is going to come speak on campus, but no one's going to stop Dylan Mulvaney, even though it absolutely contradicts the school's teachings.
Don't you think? Don't you think maybe like the preachers' conference down in Springfield, they'll put up a pole and he can go bare chested and do some pole dancing while he's there. I wonder if
it's a great idea.
Jesuit university would endorse that.
It's just
what this does is it blows the cover off of whatever excuse St. Louis University uses to cloak itself in being a religious school and being true to its principles. It's not. You have to understand who they are.
Yeah.
When my daughter went to SLU Law School and Donald Trump got elected in 2016, she sent me the copy of the letter from the college president because of all the snowflakes that were melting down. At a law school, they set up a safe space so that tomorrow's future judges and prosecutors would have somewhere to go and feel better, a quiet place where they could try to deal with their emotions of losing an election.
Yeah. I mean, the people are just soft now. But this is what I'll say about all of this, because as frustrating as it is that it's very one-sided, where SLU clearly accommodates one group and their ideologies and people who support that and completely makes it impossible or close to impossible to have somebody to balance that viewpoint, aka the conservative side, I do believe that if we want the Matt Walshes, the Jordan Petersons, the Riley Gaines to be able to come speak at a place like SLU, we have to allow the Dylan Mulvaneys, unfortunately, to come speak as well. Even though it contradicts the school's teachings, that's a whole separate issue in and of itself that I believe the school has to deal with. But if you're just looking at it like surface level, I think we have to at some point say, okay, we're not going to protest this. We can speak out against it like this College Republicans Club president did. I think she made the right decision to say, I don't support this. The school shouldn't. It goes against their teachings. However, we're not going to protest it. I just think, why don't we set the example? Because, like, let's take the high road. We have to allow it if they... it's ridiculous the way that these things play out. But Riley Gaines can't even go to colleges often, I'm told, without having massive amounts of security because people quite literally have attacked her.
She had to barricade herself in a room for a couple of hours one time because the crazies were outside, wouldn't let her out, and school security refused to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what conservatives face around the country. You're not allowed to have an opinion. They want to erase your opinion. Here's the thing about it. My guess is somewhere on the top floor at the AB InBev offices down the street, several bottles of Mylanta have been consumed the last day or two, because the last thing they want is Dylan Mulvaney being in St. Louis, close to the brewery.
Yep.
I mean, I know they're
maybe he'll do a brewery
based
tour
in New York these days, but still.
You think he'll do a brewery tour?
Maybe at Schlafly, but probably not at the Anheuser-Busch.
I could see him showing up just as
Dylan
like a little slap in the
less
face.
Less than enamored with AB now.
He said that he was obviously frustrated the way they played out, but he was even more frustrated that AB didn't come and back him when everyone was upset about it.
Thank you.
He's
Kim
like,
Saint
it would have been better to just not even partner with me than to partner with me and not have my back when everything went south.
Thank you for... for misgendering him. I appreciate that. For true gendering him. That's what I'm going to tell you. You're referring to him as a him because he's a him, right?
Yep. Despite the Post-Dispatch has she for the pronouns. I think I was looking on Dylan's Instagram to see if he'd posted about this to try to play some sound, and I haven't seen anything yet. Just that music video that I, for whatever weird reason, played part of again yesterday, the days of girlhood.
Oh,
please go listen to it if you haven't. And I think he puts his pronouns as like she, they. I'm pretty sure.
Never.
How are you a she?
I will never
and a they
refer to you that way. I'm sorry.
My brain hurts trying to keep up with all of this. Anyway, if you don't have plans, I just want to make sure that you all knew Monday at SLU. Apparently 500 people or so are expected there. Dylan Mulvaney, you can hear him speak in person.
Probably the greatest thing we could do is all wear our, like, our Donald Trump shirts and hats and not say a word and just show up for the speech and quietly sit there in the back row and watch. Because you're, simply your presence there, if you said nothing, would drive the left over the over. They'd probably attack you.
They'd probably say it was a threat.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
they wanted
yeah,
you removed.
I'm sure.
Even if you said not a single,
not
if
a
you
word.
Just wore a shirt that
not
said, "Let's go, Brandon."
Thank you.
People would be like, "I feel very threatened right now. My life is at risk. You need to get this person out of here." If you went in holding a Bud Light and a shirt, "Let's go, Brandon," with a MAGA hat, security
snowflakes,
will be all over
snowflakes
you.
Snowflakes are real. You could get you banned from the SLU campus, just like just like I got banned from Donnybrook. For a MAGA hat. I mean, it can happen.
I told my family that story. That's a good one about the MAGA hat. Why are you offended by this?
What is it about this red cap with white lettering on it that offends you so much? All right. Quick break. We're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes. Next hour, we're going to get to David Gregory, who's running for Senate, but who, more importantly, has just filed a lawsuit against Sam Page to try to get you a senior tax break, which has been held up for no reason. We're going to be back in just a minute.
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs.
Yeah, you know, it's scary what's going on in the House right now, and as a conservative who wants less spending, and I didn't want FISA renewed without some guardrails, I want to scream sometimes. I just got to tell you that. I want to scream sometimes. But there's a practicality and a common sense part of me that also says, if we don't play this carefully, Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats could control the House. They already control the Senate, and they already control the White House. They could do a crap ton of damage in the next 4 or 5 months leading up to this election. And as much as you might hate Mike Johnson now or disagree with some of the decisions he's made, that is a greater threat. Mike Johnson hasn't improved things as a House leader. He hasn't. He hasn't done some of the things I think he should stand up and do. But going through that fight again right now is not practical. I know James Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene, I support them on a lot of their positions and their reasoning for things, but I just don't know that this is the time to do that.
100% not. I feel very strongly about this. Marjorie Taylor Greene needs to sit down. I'm so tired of all this in-party fighting. We as Republicans, and I'm conservative, but I most identify with a Republican, we look weak. We look disorganized. We look foolish. This is a time leading up to the November election when we've been losing members of Congress left and right, Republicans specifically. We have a very, very slim majority. Stop the in-party fighting and let's come together and win November.
It's a self-inflicted wound is the problem, right? And I was hoping to get Ann Wagner on today. I'm guessing that didn't happen as I'm looking at the rundown here. Maybe tomorrow. But, you know, we talked about the Santos thing. Why are you removing him right now? Why vote to remove him? You're just giving up a vote. Wait till he's not running for re-election. Just wait till the election comes around. Then whether he votes with you or against you for that 6 months, I don't know. But why would you give up that position? Well, now the position belongs to a Democrat. I mean, that was not a smart move. It was not a strategic move on the part of the Republicans. Now you got Ken Buck and some of these other losers who just out of vengeance and spite are resigning and leaving Congress before their term is up just to jab at the conservatives that they don't like. Well, now there's a one-vote majority in the House, and it leads to things like this. Go to cut 13, Carl, please.
And of course, just one member, that's all it takes to actually call for a vote seeking the speaker's ouster here. The question is, will Marjorie Taylor Greene does go this route, will there be enough support to drive him from the speakership? A number of Democrats are indicating that they will vote to save Mike Johnson, especially if he moves ahead on a Ukraine aid package that is similar to the plan that did pass the Senate. So some of the details are still yet to be hashed out here.
Do you hear that? The Democrats are negotiating with the House Speaker, the Republican House Speaker, that, hey, we'll save your butt if there's a vote to vote you out, if in turn you'll give us what we want on aid to Ukraine. And he might be in a situation where he has no choice but to take it because of our own stupidity. I understand better than anybody listening here right now one fact. You have to have power to achieve your goals. If we vacate that power in the next 4 or 5 months, the Democrats will eviscerate us. They will gut us. Do you understand that? Like William Wallace at the end of the movie. That's what's about to happen to Republicans if we do something that stupid. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.